Oh. You ready to talk your head off?
Yes.
It's not like you do that already.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Eat Time, episode 208.
He's being very, very, very quiet. You can tell. There's a very big emphasis on trying not to break the sound barrier of my tiny Japanese apartment.
It is so hard.
You can talk at the regular volume.
Okay.
I don't want your viewers to be like, you put a leash on my man. You constipated Philip.
I think my viewers would be okay with that, because most of my viewers are already your viewers anyway.
Maybe.
And I'm pretty sure you have more sway in my viewers than me.
I don't think so, but...
The comments are gonna... Anyway, 208, big episode, because we skipped last week because of obvious reasons. World's happened. I should have got the guys to do that, but I forgot.
Are you flying during the last one?
No.
Okay.
It was literally the day of World. We usually try to do them on Saturdays, that way we get
all of the
week.
Right. Yeah.
But, oh well. Hey, at least it paid off. Look who I got.
Hello.
I'm holding him by the leash.
Oh no.
Anyway, we got a jam-packed episode. We're going to just skip the comments, because most of you guys probably don't know the comments. The set's fully out. You can look at the decklist. So we're just going to look at the three new ride lines, a couple of great promos, and one or two cards that are just special in between. So without further ado, let's get this show on the road so we don't have to rant that long, so we can let this man rest.
Yes, package for Mr. Top Deck Heroes.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Top Deck Heroes? Mr. Top Deck Heroes, package.
Man, another one? What is with this guy?
Mr. Top Deck Heroes,
again. Oh, another again.
Mr. Top Deck Heroes,
package.
Oh, God, thank you, that was heavy. What's in that one?
Oh, training cards.
Cards. Was every one of them cards?
Yeah.
How can you afford that?
Oh, that's interesting you say that. I got it from this baseball bit.
Secret.
Man, these people are crazy.
It's no secret. 50 cards. Use code TDHEROES for a discount.
Starting us off with Wings of Aspiration Soil. We already know he exists. We know him because of the Star Decks. We can skip him and go straight into the Razael ride line with Patrol of Gust Pentesta.
Pentesta.
I love that you're here because you can read the proper card and then tell me how wrong I am.
I mean, this one's in English for some reason, right?
I do not know, but I do know his effect is auto.
It's in English.
I don't know. When this unit is wrought upon by Knight of Great Advance Ascensure, call this card to rear guard and soul charge one. And then continuous rear guard during your turn. If you have a grade 3 or greater bang with Rosalind's card name, this unit gets power 2k, make it a 10k booster or even attacker, honestly.
Yeah. It seems pretty decent. Like, it's like one of, like, any rather that pluses usually is fine. And, like, it gives back the soul so you don't sell it.
Exactly. That's really the key part. I think we're slowly getting some Keta ride lines where you're going to skip on the grade 2 effect because we're going to get to it. Because it needs the proper Vanguard, but we're getting certain ride lines in Keter that can go into any vanilla deck. Because Keter's always been falling back on Blasted Arc. And until we got the Alden ride line, there was really nothing other than Blasted Arc if you just wanted a good vanilla ride line.
True, yeah, because it was always just like Bastion or like Youth, where it's like very like archetypical.
And on top of that, not that good. Like Bastion players have been suffering for the longest time going, oh look, a heal trigger.
Yeah, right, so it's a bit rough. But this one seems good.
Exactly. And I'm going to move on. And if you haven't watched Free Time, this is how it works. It's your turn.
Okay. We have Knight of Great Advance Ascensior. So he's the grade 2. Looks very nice.
Yes, I am inverted. I am the correct
scroll.
I am the correct
cringe
way.
One.
I'm the correct way.
Very cringe. Inverted scroll is very cringe.
The correct way.
But when you ride with a grade 3 Razael over him, you choose a grade 2 or less card from drop and call to rear. So it's pretty good. I think... It already works in conjunction with, like, Maple, but I guess this means you don't need Maple, because that kind of, like, just revives it. I haven't really thought about Razael builds, but I guess, like, you want Karubure, and this works also nicely with Karubure as well. So there's quite a few good generic. There's also, not just Kedavra, there's also a Kedwala you could run this with, because he also, if you expect a lot of like Varga Dragress to roam around, then he like pops himself so you don't lose a card from being retired by Varga's effect. So,
and also just it helps having a card that feels like your ditch for ride is not punished.
Yeah, that's true. It also could agree to or less, so you can actually use like Selga on
true
and bring it back out.
Or like gonna get Selga.
Yeah, well, you need it.
Yeah,
I don't need to get it.
All right, let's actually talk about, because we're starting to see a trend here with especially the Great Two Ride line and what Raziel's whole new gimmick is, and it's more Grand Blue Stokea-esque than we thought it would be.
Yeah.
Because we got Fatal One of Miracles, Raziel. Side note, I made my third Baldur's Gate character named Raziel, and he was super evil.
And he has 300 hours of Baldur's Gate as well.
As I remembered! Anyway, two effects, one of them of course being the Divine Skull. And the first one, which is the main effect, is auto when this unit attacks a Vanguard, it costs Cannibalist 1, choose up to 2 cards from your drop with different grades and total grade less than equal to the number of cards in your damage zone, and call them to rearguard. And then his divine skill is Act Vanguard, costs Soul Blast 1 return, critical from your drop to the deck and shuffle it. And this unit gets drive plus 1 until the end turn, making it a triple drive unit. Also, until the end of fight, you cannot ride units without Raziel and their card names, and you, the player, you get,
yep,
when your damage check reveals a trigger unit other than heal, if your damage zone has 5 or more cards, choose a card from your damage zone and heal it, and you lose this ability.
Yep.
Holy balls.
Yeah, this is,
like, it puts triggers back, especially crits, which means in the, if it rewards going deck out late, deck out.
Yeah.
Like, making it just goes, on top of the fact that every trigger when you're 5 damage is now a heal trigger.
Yeah, I think it's also something that's very interesting is that I've heard people say like, oh, why don't we just put this into other decks too? Because it's like, you could put this into like Youth or Bastion Accord, where it's like, okay, well, I've exhausted my Persona Rides and stuff. Let me go into this guy, Divine Skill, all my triggers back. Now it's like, my deck was small and I was going to deck out and lose anyway, but now I survive. And also I have like 6 damage heal, you know, from all the crits that I put back into deck. And then it's like, even with the first skill, even if you put this into decks that aren't himself, you can then still use the first skill to call random stuff from, yeah, drop, right?
So it's like 5 attacks and 5 damage like this.
Yeah, so it's pretty nice. You get yourself, you know, you get your extra attacks. You do lose any effects that require a certain named Vanguard, but at the same time, there's not necessarily that many of them. So I feel like he's actually pretty nice, not just like a deck, but this is the first time we get a grade 3 boss unit that is like, kind of like OG Vanguard, where you go like, I'd be sitting an Alfred and then go into Soul Saver to win the game.
It's a finisher,
right?
Yeah. I forget, Dex always had this one unit.
This, back in the day, we had a lot of these, and it was like a very common thing. And I feel like Raziel is finally the first time in like over 5 years. Like, I think even Jira, we didn't have that because of strides.
Yeah, because a lot of decks focus on their archetype, and if you weren't doing the archetype, the deck wasn't working.
Yeah, it's like,
okay, you know, no. Actually, you know, we had actually a very recent example of taking in a finisher into a deck just to finish the game. Do you know when it happened?
No.
You should. It was at your Invitational.
Oh, like in Premium, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, what, the Photon,
yeah,
Legion? Yeah.
Tell me that's not just in there for a finisher. Like, I'm about to deck out. Yeah. Let me Legion in. And
so I'm referring more to like cards that have released, right? So that released before G era. And like Legion did have a lot of them.
Valid.
So it's like you'd go into one of your Legions for like mid game and then go into another Legion for late game. So it's like you had, you know, like even like, was it Seekers would initially like use the Wingull Legion and then after that go into Thingsaver after they've like actually built up a drop zone. Or that was also the whole thing of like Break Ride Legion decks where they would like farm resources while on Break Ride and then Break Ride Legion up and like put a bunch of triggers back in compressed state. So this really feels like it's a very similar card, but we haven't had a card designed in this manner since G.
Yeah.
And that's 2014, so 10 years.
Yeah, because everything is super restricted, especially
actually
the 10
years. That's pretty ridiculous. Like,
okay, if they didn't build a deck around their gimmick, the grade 3 just didn't work.
Yeah, and this actually does, which I think I'm quite happy.
The closest thing we got there, and we did it on our channel,
oh,
was...
we had the not Messianic Lord Blaster, but Exculpate from Viera.
That was the finisher.
Yeah.
But I'm more talking about Recent Standard. If you want to consider it a finisher, we basically, there was support cards for Dragon Empire for Mushido armor or something like that.
Oh, that thing, yeah.
Exactly, remember? Like, it got a grade one support card, and because we made a deck around it, and I had to build a deck. And because it's like you can persona ride anything, it was a question of, okay, what card do you even choose? Mm-hmm. And I went for Overlord because he's generic and restands and does stuff.
Yeah. So TLDR, I think we're both big fans of this card. I think it's just, there's actually so much more to unpack about it than...
Dude, if there weren't so many people on our channel who already called Divs to want to build this, I'd be one of them.
You still can.
You're not wrong, but I focus on Brent Kidd and Dark States, and we'll get to those later. But we got to also see what... Because, you know, these cards just don't exist. They get support.
Yeah.
And they get decent support. One of them is Gigantic Masher.
Yeah.
It's a grade 3 rare that says, continuous rear guard appear if your unit was placed on rear guard by the ability of your Vanguard Rosalind's card and this unit, this turn, this unit gets 15k power, making a 28k attacker. So,
it's pretty significant. Like, 28k for no cost.
Yeah, exactly. You need a beat stick because Razzle's ability is multi-tech, and if you just call vanilla units and you have a persona right, you're really not doing anything.
Yeah, so I think especially for like early builds of Razzle that like are just Razzle like centric, we'll probably include this guy. And we haven't had Gigantic
now, to mention, I will say, I feel like the free power is balanced by calling a grade 3 and not having an interceptor.
True.
Lately, that's been very important. Every 5k shield matters. But that's not the only card. We got like a double rare and a triple rare.
All right. So the double rare is Aerial Sage. So this is when it boosts. If you have a Rizal Vanguard, then it gets plus 5k power. So it's already like a good revive target, I guess, off of Rizal too, because it's like if you are swinging with a rear column first and then you're putting his defensive, you can call this guy to like break past the defensive at least. So if you boost like anything that's like 10k or higher. And when you boost a grade 3 or greater with Resonance Name, you discard 1 to countercharge 1, and it gets plus 2k as well. So that's also nice because it's a 15k booster to a 13k, so it makes good numbers. Ditching 1 for CC is a bit pricey,
if
but...
If it didn't work for Alden, I don't think it's going to work for Azel, because Alden has almost an identical card in a grade 1 that says on place, it gains 2k for that turn, and you can discard a card to countercharge.
Yeah.
And nobody really wanted to use it because unfortunately we're in a current state of anger where hand size is important unless you really have dead cards in hand, which for Kera decks does not exist because almost everything is a piece or a unit.
Yeah, or discard synergy like with other effects. Which
exactly.
Like, we don't really have in Kera that much to my knowledge.
Like if you're playing a Brain Gate deck or a Zorga or something with a lot of orders, it makes sense to have discard mechanics because you sometimes get filled with orders that don't do anything.
Yeah.
So at least there, but Kera is one of those decks. This is unit specific. Every piece is almost a piece. You do really not want to ditch.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty okay card, but Triple Rare seems a bit better.
Triple Rare should be better than Triple Rare. If Triple Rare is not good, we'll get to that one. But Knight of Gentle Beauty, Nobia. Long ability, so let's go through it. Auto, when this unit is placed on rear guard, if you have a grade 3 or greater Vanguard Rosalind's card name, Cannonblast alone, look at the top 3 cards of your deck. Choose up to 1 grade 3 or less card from when they call the rear guard and put the rest on the bottom of the deck in any order. If it is your battle phase, reveal it and put it into the hand instead of calling. So just plus engine, because why not?
Yeah.
Auto rear guard, when this unit attacks a grade 3 or greater unit. If you have a grade 3 or greater Vanguard with Razzalance card name, Soul Blast 1, this unit gets 10k power until the end. We have seen a lot of these effects lately.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these specific, like, you're grade 3, I'm grade 3, 10k power to this unit.
Which is nice because it's like, it means that you don't get to bum rush your opponent going first. It's like, they've been trying to make going second better and better, and like, now the energy also, you get more energy from going second, so it's like, there's been decks opting to go second, like Stride decks and Last decks, so I think... As we keep getting more good going, because like Vanguard is such a game where going first is just so good that they keep having to print things that benefit you from going second. And especially the more good energy using cards we get, the more going second will become appealing because you get to use it. So of course that's also very appreciated. But
like overall, just an amazing card. Like we've seen the effect of, especially in Keter, just being able to look at top 5, call something, just be good. People have been running more and more of the Keter cat just because of that reason of, place, look at top 5, give me a piece.
Yeah, it's like, the fact that it takes anything is pretty good too. It's like, call this mid-battle phase from Rezel's effect, you also might fetch a PG.
Exactly.
And it does not specify it to be a unit card, so you can also choose an order from this if you choose to play an order-based engine or just like want to find your Sanctitude or something. So it's pretty good. I think Rezel does seem a bit CB heavy, so maybe that double rare countercharger will be played, but we'll see about that. It seems like there's a fair bit of cards that CB, and especially if you run like Carberry as well, it's going to be a little bit suspect.
I mean, the most you can really do with this card is if you sequence this with the double rare, you can call this CB, grab something. Worst case, you grab something to ditch for the grade one, so your hand doesn't change and you've technically deck thinned.
Mm. Yeah. So, pretty good. I think it's an overall nice card.
All right, we got an in-between card, because last week we saw five cards that supported the original Quick Start decks, and they were all grade threes, and they all did this very similar things, but one of them was missing.
Yes, so the one for Christianos, the Stoikea one. So this one actually was revealed, I think, like the night before Worlds or something. So I actually like very briefly read it, but it kind of already escaped my mind, because that whole weekend of anything they revealed within those days, I was just like,
this is
like in one ear, out the other. So it's actually nice to reread them. So basically when this one's placed from on rear from drop, if you have a Christianos grade 3 greater Vanguard, he gets plus 10 cancel out of turn, but he retires at the end of turn. So he basically refuels your drop to be called by Christianos, which is not bad either. But when he attacks, you can Soulblast one once per turn to choose your Vanguard and give it plus 5k. So that already is nice for building numbers, because the Vanguard gives itself plus 10k from the search effect. So that way you're making it a 28, so it's a bit more like, they can't just drop a 15 and a 10, they have to drop, you know, two 15s basically for two to pass. And if your Vanguard's standing when he attacks, and you Soulblasted a basically Christianos for the cost of this effect, you stand him at the end of the battle. So this is basically potential five attacks. So if you have two of these lined up and you have two Christianos and Soul for some reason, so you'd have to have Soul, like Persona Rided and Soul Charged one off of some Soul Charge effect, you could get five attacks, but usually you're gonna have four, which is also really good because, I mean, this being a, you know, like plus 5k to itself is also good. You get kind of, you know, it's just like a new age Tidal Assault kind of for the Tidal Assaulty looking deck.
I'm racking my brain in my Sokea library. It's not as big as my other nations, and I can't remember any specific card that says targeted Soul Charge in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's all random, so.
You have them in Dark States, but here. Overall, you said it beautifully. It's a really good card. Unlike other decks, though, like other grade threes who suffer this deck, it doesn't somehow plus you, because all of them manage to somehow plus you one card.
The grade three pluses more than the other
ones. Yeah, no kidding.
So it was missing the extra attack, so I think it's fine.
Well, now people are going to be happy that the Aquaverse looking unit can multi attack.
As it should.
Exactly.
Like, Bafsagara doesn't need the extra attack, but this does.
All right. Now we get, why is this one here? Goodbye. This should have been something else. Now we get to the Virga.
Yes.
And the big boy himself. We already know the starter from...
A while ago,
but now it's time to look at the right line. I want to pick you go first.
Okay, so we have a Blaze Ember Dragon. So this is the grade one of the right line. When he's ridden over by Boulder Axe Dragon, you call him to rear and Soul Charge once, which is the exact same effect as the previous one. And also, the other effect is the same as the Cutter one, where if you have a grade 3 greater Varga, Vanguard, then he gets plus 2k. So it's kind of the same thing. You can just kind of like use it as a good booster behind your Vanguard, which is going to be restanding. So
it makes sense from the episode that they're mirroring each other a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sometimes I don't like these kinds of effects. Honestly, because it's such a generic and good effect, I don't really mind it. You don't mind this on Soul, you get a free unit that can be either an early game attacker or just a good booster.
Yeah.
Overall, it's not a bad ability.
It's not bad, yeah.
But here's where they should start differing with Boulder Axe Dragon. Auto, when this unit is drawn upon by Grade 3 Virga and its card name, call this card a rearguard.
Yep.
Auto rearguard, when this unit attacks a Vanguard, if you have a Grade 3 greater Vanguard with Virga and its card name, this unit gets power 5k until the end of that battle. At the end of the battle, retire this unit and draw a card. I think this ride line card is going to be played more than just in the ride line.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like the conclusion a lot of people have been coming to as well, because it's like the self ping to draw is pretty good in a deck that wipes out your front row anyway. So I feel like Boulder Axe is going to be seen a bit more too.
Mm-hmm.
And like converting into a draw in a deck that self retires its front row is always good. So
this reminds
me like a better Brachio.
So much of Tachikaze.
I guess
carrying your own units a plus back.
A little bit, yeah. It's like I didn't really make that connection because I like the Tempest Storm or whatever the... What was like that samurai dragon from Narukami called again? It's like,
oh my god, Narukami.
I think it was Tempest.
You're blanking me. Bolts?
Let me check. I feel like it was Tempest Bolt.
I know so many Narukami is because of Alex, but you have now just completely stumped me because all of them were not holding swords. All of them.
It is Tempest Bolt.
It is Tempest
Bolt. There we go.
Tempest Bolt!
That predates me.
Yeah, this is an old card. So, pretty nice one. Pretty nice one.
Well, enough of old cards. There's new cards to talk about.
Yeah. Varga Dragress. This is my, I think, the one I'm most excited about from the new red lines. Well, it's just cool, but it's like doesn't feel as new because there's an old deck getting support. But Varga has some cool effects that we saw, of course, in episode 2? Question mark? 3 of the anime. So when it attacks once per turn, kind of lost 1 to retire all of your opponents from yours and your opponents from rear guards, and he gets +10k until end of turn. So it keeps it for the turn. And the battle stands and loses 2 drives. So an important note there already is that this doesn't work with the Dragon Empire OT, mm-hmm. which is a note that other people have picked up on, and I think it's quite interesting that they chose to go this design choice because every other Dragon Empire boss so far has always had some kind of like, if not synergy, at least like not anti-synergy. This one's literally anti-synergistic.
Zedlens.
But Zedlens
also restands
before.
Yeah, you activate the ability before you, when you attack, so the OT doesn't work there too.
They really don't want the Dragon Empire OT just to be anymore. That's why they reprinted the red and blue ones. We're probably going to get a new one in Festival as well. But then his divine skill is, end of the battle, this unit attacked a grade 3 or greater unit. If your opponent's damage is 4 or more, and he's attacked 2 or more times, you count plus 1, stand it, and he gets drive plus 2 until end of turn. So you could hypothetically not use the first skill, check the OT, attack a second time, and then proc the divine skill for 4 drives, but that's not very likely to happen. So usually this deck kind of is, or this card specifically, is going to force you to use the first skill, then use the second skill. So it's like, I feel like the Keter one was the most like flexible and expressionable mm-hmm. card. It's like you have so much things you could pair this with for the on-call, and you have so much things you could use as like a final like end boss, you know, like end game boss. Mm-hmm. And then this one is more just like, I mean, you could splash this into other things too, but it feels like if it doesn't Persona Riot, it just lacks a lot because it's a deck that lives and dies by its drive checks.
You're not wrong, but it's still a 23k attacker. Like, if your opponent's at 5 damage with any Dragon Empire deck, you just ride this, and here's 3 attacks where you got a minimum guard with 15k shield for one pass. One of them you don't have to worry because it has some drive checks, but then it gains drive checks again.
Yeah.
Now, to mention, you still have the 2 attacks that are just lingering.
And I quite like that because the divine skills are once per game abilities that other decks, like, don't normally have, so you're kind of like, if you want to make use of them in other Dragon Empire decks, like you basically have to put this into your Dragon Empire deck. But I'm not sure how much we'll see that, right? Because for a lot of other, like, I wouldn't really want to be putting this into Jiva because, like, that way my whole deck turns off. And even if I'm doing 3 Vanguard swings, like, my rear swings pack a bigger punch and I have triple drive anyway. And this only gives me, like, potential 4 drives. So would I rather have, like, 3 Vanguard swings with 4 drives? Or just have the 1 Vanguard swing with triple drive and 5 rearguard attacks. So in a sense, I'm, you know, the amount of attacks is the same, but it doesn't hurt the consistency and add bricks for my day to whiff and stuff, right? So it's like, I guess you'll have to think about how much value does this card bring.
Imagine Overlord, like, I'm sick of 2 attacks, 3 attacks now.
Yeah. I think that in terms of splashiness, we're going to see the Keter one more than this one. But I personally like this one as a boss unit more. I also just love Hagia Sensei's
art. Oh, so yeah.
Big fan of that one.
But as per usual, it doesn't end there.
Yay.
We got cool things like a grade 3 that's
obduracy.
Thank you. Glaive Dragon. Yeah, you're going to notice I sometimes forget how to read.
It's interesting because the Japanese one is Obdurus Glaive Dragon. So it's obduracy for some reason in Japanese, or in the translation, but.
No clue who translated, but yep. The ability is to will translate because it goes continuous. Front row rear guard. During your turn, if you do not have another front row rear guard with the same card name as this unit cannot be retired by card effects and gains plus 10k power.
Yep.
So, hello rear guard that stays. And it continues triggered if you have a grade 3 or grade of anger with Varga in its card name, this unit gets boost.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It's like 13k boost or 23k boost, I guess. You know, this. It's also interesting that he can't be retired by card effects and he only looks at the front row, so it's like, you can have two other things in the front row and then still have them in the back row and his effect
is still the front function. Row regard only 10.
Ah, never mind, but I missed
they, the point. They were smart about it.
Smoge. Okay, so either use him as a 13k booster or you have him as a 23k attacker.
Whenever we get to that card, I think I know why he's designed that way and I'll mention it there, but we got a double rare in between.
Impale Horn Dragon is the grade 1 double rare, so when he boosts, if you're Vanguard or Varga, it gets plus 5k, so same as the previous one. And then for when he boosts Varga specifically, gets plus 2k until end of battle, and then you can soul boss 1 and retire to draw a card. So it's a painkiller, basically, that gains a bit of power, which is...
It's very similar to a grade 1 for Raziel, because instead of counter charges, retire this and draw.
Yeah, I feel like this is the deck that wanted to counter charge way more, because that's what I heard from people playtesting the deck that it's like, the CB is the main issue.
This is the reason. Drag Ritter Shura is the reason why CC would make this deck kind of busted. Because she's got two abilities. First one is auto regard when this unit attacks, energy blast 2, which on a side note, I don't think Raziel energy blasts at all.
No, I don't think he does.
And this unit gets power 5k until the end of battle, so it's a 15k attacker. Choose up to one of your rear guards with a different card name from this unit, and it gets when this unit is retired from rear guard, put this card into your hand.
Yeah, very good point.
The second one is the CB thing. Auto when this unit is retired from Rigor by the ability of your grade 3 or greater Vanguard or Varga in this card name. If your opponent's Vanguard's grade 3 or greater, counter blast 1, call this card 2 Rigor and it gets 10k power until the end of turn. Yeah.
So it's like, even before reading her text, like, she is 1, beautiful, 2, yep. Drawn by Hagia Sensei, so this is the same artist as Drag Race itself, but also Youthbird, Blue Flames, etc. So I always like anything that he draws or they draw. I believe actually female, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll have to double check that. But overall, multi-attack in the deck that was already getting quite a few attacks. So that's what I mean. Like, this is like, this card specifically is probably the reason why you want to build a deck around, you know, Varga instead of having to splash it, because you have not just three Vanguard swings when your opponent's at critical health, but you also have quite a few. I mean, she does is worded in a way that she has to be, I mean, you could technically have two of her on the board and get, you know.
So, with in the perfect situation, perfect.
Seven attacks.
Four CB.
Yeah, four CB is pretty tough. Because both of Varga's affect CB1, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so the Divine Skill, I kind of wish it didn't CB, but...
So you can do six attacks with three CB, not activating Divine Skill.
Yeah.
That's basically the idea behind multiple. You're probably not going to try to go for multiple of these every time, like one more extra so you can at least get four attacks each turn. So 2 CB, 4 attacks a turn is not bad. You're plussing because you're bouncing the card that's in the other column, or you have, honestly, not only, wait, I do need it. Oh, hold up, now my brain is clicking. You can retire, grade 2, that's plus and bounce into hand. That's good. That's a Bermuda thing. That's a Bermuda thing right there.
Yeah, it's actually quite nice that you just get to recycle a card that draws you cards, so it's like you get to use it again next turn, and then as long as you keep, because this draws, you have more chance to dig into a copy of Shura as well. So
I like this a lot. It's gonna be fun times testing, but like everybody in like every faded one in this set, they got an extra triple, because you know it's their first reveal set, they have to have the best support available. They have to have really good defining support. Bruh, why?
You're not a fan of Tour.
I am, and I am not. I'll go on this rant, but first we need to figure out what it is. It's Bliss Operator Tour. Turus?
Turu is the Japanese name, so it's like just Tour.
Tour. Was there an S there?
Silent, bro. She's French.
Valid. That is actually valid. It's a beautiful art.
Yep.
Gorgeous, and the effect is continuous trigger during your turn. If your order zone has a product, which is not going to be hard, this unit gets power 5k, make it 15k. That's actually a really good ability.
Yes.
Auto regard, when this unit attacks a Vanguard, if you have a Vanguard with Velsaran's card name with Divine Skill, Cannabis 1, choose a product from your order zone and operate it. It is Fry Hype for CB1 instead of Soul Blast 2.
Yes.
Here is the shtick, though. CB is already tight.
Yep.
It's only a 15k. And when you read this, you're like, is that it? Like, it felt like Velsaran needed something more fun thing.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, Brang has so many countercharges. Like, you're already running Mobile Mine, you have more deck space now. Like, there is another countercharger in this set that was already revealed prior.
When you're grade two greater product, when you're grade two greater set order, place in the order zone, put this in your soul counter.
Yeah, so it's like, you have so many countercharges that it's like, I don't think it's that bad that this CB's.
It's,
if anything, you were tighter on soul than
CP. So it's not. And while all the things that feel like they're missing are there, at the same time, she does things where it's like, this is nifty. I've had a chance to playtest, shadow playtest, and also play against someone with this card. And she comes in clutch more than I thought she would.
Mm.
Yes, CB, it can be tight, but because new Velshra does things in certain ways, you're no longer going for the 5 attack maximum
play. Mm.
You're more inclined to go the big laser and just do 4 attacks. So you're negging your opponent up to 15k in one turn just because of your activating 2 orders.
Mm.
To get 15k neg, you would need to activate 3 orders, which, you know, is already better economy. On top of that, you still have Bulbamine, you still have the countercharges, so the CB is not that bad. And if you really don't want to use her CB operate to get a maximum on the board, you can just operate the grade 2 and draw a card. Like, there's actually a lot of cool utility here. And honestly, the biggest surprise in playtesting I had was the 5k power, which matters. If you sequence your attacks correctly and you operate maximum, her boosted by a Bulbamine swinging at an 8k Vanguard for 23 is a 15k shield already out of hand.
Yeah, I think with, like, paired with a minus power, and because now you have 2 minus power.
Actually, let me correct myself, because most of the time you're going to do this. Swing a Vanguard, neck 10, swing with this, it's a 23 versus a 3.
Yeah, right. So it's like the plus 5k is like, it doesn't seem like it's that crazy in a vacuum, but specifically when you look at the greater package, it's like, oh, never mind.
I have found myself with so many times in problems, especially actually in the video where we did the new Velshra, where I only have a front row of grade 2s and Velshra, and I didn't Persona Rat.
Mm.
So I have to sequence my attacks in weird ways to start negging their power so my tank can hit an 8.
Right.
This thing is already at 15. You can fix that problem a little bit already.
Yeah, exactly. So you get the good proc. I feel like in general, I personally think it's a good card.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, you have enough CC, or this shouldn't be really an issue. And, like, Fry Heights, the Act skill, maybe you'll burst that a bit less now. Just search for Persona Ride once, or, like, if you need to get the Fry Shoots maximum.
So you want to hear a secret?
Yeah.
I have a deck list that I think is really solid, and we're going to use on video. Guess how many counter charges is running?
6.
4 Bogmains, and that's it.
Yeah,
and I think it still works.
Honestly, I think that's probably fine. Like, I saw Kai's list this morning too, and he just had the 4 Bubble Mine too. And, like, now with 50 cards, you have the space.
So exactly.
Like, why not? Right.
There is a tech card I want to mention right now that's going to be very appearing in the video that I think is, I won't say necessary, but it feels so good in deck.
Mm.
There's a grade 1 Blitz. It's actually not even a Blitz unit. There's a grade 1 robot, common, from set 12 or 13, that literally just said, when a grade 2 greater set order is put into your order zone, you can put this card into your soul and draw a card.
Oh, I think I have a big idea which card that is, yeah.
It fits so well because it helps your soul count for Fry Hide and other abilities. And yes, I do run the grade 2 from triple set 13 that Soul Blast 2 when you operate draw a card. It actually comes in handy.
Mm.
And then he's also just draws your card on top, because that's the biggest problem, and I'm going to stop this hand after this, is the fact that you do all these things, you kind of bounce your back your rear guards, but then your hand size is very okay-ish. It's not quite where you need it to be, because you don't want to use your rear guards that you bounce to guard with, because you need to recall them for the next turn.
I need someone that, like, you know that meme of, like, that dude who's, like, explaining things, like, very fast, like, pointing at the board? I need someone to just, like green screen out Philip doing that and, like, speed it up quickly, and it's, like, least passionate Welser fan. It's just like,
dude, if I could talk about Velshra for a day, I would, but we can't.
Time to write an essay.
We got 2 more cards before we talk about new ride lines. Technically, this is a new ride line, Megumi's back in the anime, and as such, she needs upgrades, right?
Yes, Bulbalax, Mr. Peach Time. This is like the deep lore of my channel coming out here, but they finally decided to fix Magnolia's ride line, which is nice. So when he's written over by, I always like to call them the archetype, Mr. Beast. So when he's written upon by a grade 2 Mr. Beast, you look at the top 3 cards of your deck, choose a grade 2 or less normal unit from among them, call it to rear, and you may discard the rest. And if you didn't, then you put the remaining cards on the bottom deck in any order. So you can't choose to discard like one and then put the rest back. Mm-hmm. You have to choose either you discard the remaining two or you put them back to the deck. So I think it's quite good because it's also just like, you get to call something out and it's not just like, oh, I whiffed, or it's like, oh, I just call a trigger or whatever. So it's like, finally, Magnolia's Redline actually has basic, like, human rights at this point. It feels like they gave it basic decency at long last.
Oh, do you remember what the promo grade 3 Sakea unit was called? The one that works off of orders and disposes of tokens?
The flower girl.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
I'm blanking on it too
for some reason. Yeah.
But it just came to mind, this can actually be a really good generic Redline for her. Because she does want cards in drop.
True, true. That could actually help as well. Yeah, it could be.
Like, I like the fact, I mean, we talked about it on your stream during the Tuesday thing. It's like, he goes into Magnolia well, and he works off of either putting cards back in deck fitting or just setting up your drop zone.
Mr. Beast.
Well, speaking of Mr. Beast, here's a double joke. We have Mr. Beast lettuce.
That's right. The new Mr. Beast burger condiment.
I know, right? He got an upgrade, and he's honestly really good.
Yep.
Auto in the scene is drawn upon a grade 3 card with Magnolia in its card name. Soul Blast 1, choose a grade 3 or greater card from your drop or in normal order from your drop and put it into your hand. And it continues during your turn. If you have a grade 3 or greater of anger, Magnolia in its card name, this thing gets 5k pop.
Yep.
So overall, it just does good things.
Yeah, it's your elder. Yep. If you ditch that by accident, or like through the grade 1 of the red line, for example, gets you orders back too if you play any. I mean, Habitat is like a must-have, I think, in like every Stokea deck, so gets you your Habitat back too.
This is, I forgot the name of it, but this is Zorga's grade 2 red line on a stick with a Soul Blast.
Yeah, and like a bit of extra power too, so a bit of like rear guard utility, so good card. Good
my
card,
like. Teammate Alex plays Maggie a lot, and he's recently been testing out with not actually playing Redline cards, but playing key piece cards in the Redline so he can call them out of drop after Soul Blasting.
Yeah.
And this can actually basically do the same thing for his deck, so he can put a generic grade 1 that he wants potentially in there, and then Soul Blast it and call it out for whatever effect just to have it always active.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good card. I think it's just genuinely, like, they finally fixed the Maggie Redline. It's like,
no, grade 3.
And long last.
Sorry, ignore me, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it has to be.
Reading is hard.
Magnolia, yeah. It's fine.
Let's actually talk about some cool stuff.
All right. We have a
Lyrical
starter. We can skip that.
Yep, we know what it does. We need to know what the Redline does. And Lively Navy Tiffany.
Yeah, Tiffany.
Is it Tiffany or? Oh, no, there's an F.
Tiffany. It's also in Japanese, like Tiffany.
You think with someone that constantly gets mistaken for PH would know how to read PH.
True.
Anyway, auto. And now, right? When this unit is wrote upon by a confident Aqua Mazette, reveal the top card of your deck, call it a rear guard if it's a grade 2 or less normal unit, and put it in your hand if it is not.
Yeah.
Huzzah, Bastion's crying in a corner wishing it had an effect like this.
Yeah, true. It's like you get to call a card, you still call your triggers. Oh no, it's normal unit.
Yeah.
So
your triggers get to your hand.
Haha. Uh-huh.
This is really, there's a Redline.
Triggers go to hand, your persona goes to hand.
Oh.
Any other utility grade 3s in this deck, because it's Highlander, also go to hand.
Savara Yell's Redline did the exact same thing.
Yes.
Which was good.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Grade 2.
Grade 2, this one is Muzette. This one was the mid one, I remember, where everyone was like, So she's drawn by a grade 3 card with Chris Rain in his name. Oh, she basically does the same thing. Sorry, it was a grade 3, that was a mid one. She revealed the top card of your deck, call it to rear if it's a grade 3 or less normal unit, and put it to hand if it's not. So this one does call your persona ride, unfortunately.
Yes.
But if it's, you know, an order card, or if it's a trigger, it goes to your hand. Something this calls your PG, though.
Hold up. No, that's not a bet. That's...
you bounce it, technically.
Yeah, this is a nation that just has
bounce it. So I guess you can bounce your persona right, too. It's not the end of the world.
No, I think this is fine for this specific nation. Any other nation may be like, maybe not. Speaking of which, real quick tangent. You know, in Velstra, if you use the top 5 effect of the grade 2 product, you can call a PG and then maximum it to hand.
Yeah, dude. I have done that in the past. This is also, I realized with the grade 1 Redline too, you could actually call out Valshablan and then bounce that to hand with like a Yuiko or something and then ditch it for the right cost the
right
after. So it's like, I guess there's a little bit of synergy with some stuff. But
I think Yuiko is going to have a lot of mileage in the deck, especially because whenever you do not want to use a divine skill, Yuiko is just going to get your pieces back.
Yep. Yuika, three reprints in and still going to the moon.
I know, right? Anyway, talk about the big one.
Chris
Rain. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Auto Vanguard once per turn, cannabis one, and perform all one of the following. If you have four or more units with different card names, perform two instead of one, and if you have five or more, perform all instead of one. So the first one is draw a card and energy charge three, which overall is just not bad. More resources, and that you play more energy cards in the deck and not feel bad.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of energy charging lyrical units so far, I think.
Exactly. And then choose one of your units and gets 15k until the end of turn, and this unit gets a crit until the end of turn. So overall, this could technically be a draw card 28k double critical Vanguard.
Which is pretty good. Just for that already, I think it's pretty decent, but it's just that the kind of thing that all of the lyrical bosses do, of like, except for Sienna, of like usually having some multi-attacks, she doesn't do it unless you use her divine skill.
Granted. This reminds me of a lot of other cards that do similar things, because Divine Skill is auto at the end of battle that this unit attacked, a grade 3 or greater unit. Return all your rearguards to your hand. Choose up to one unit card from your hand, call it to rearguard, and until the end of the turn, increase or decrease that unit's power and critical to match this unit's. I want you to, do you remember what V-era Asha did?
Yes. I mean, it's basically, that's just like the plants. Super plan token.
So the strategy was always, oh, look, a trigger, Vanguard. Oh, look, a trigger, Vanguard.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, you two to pass, I don't care. It's like,
exactly.
The only thing is that you're probably, I mean, most of these divine skills are like that, where you're not using, except for Willstras, you're not using them turn three.
No.
So the other two are both, they like, with how fast the game is right now, probably turn four cards. This one also is like a turn four card, but I do feel like the investment return you get from Keter is the highest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Dragon Empire one is like up to your triggers, but an extra attack is always good. This one gives you the extra attack, which is basically going to be at least a 28k with 2 crit. Usually 38k with 2 crit because you persona it and then you put whatever triggers on top. So getting that extra attack, and especially the full board balance thing, is the especially cool thing where you can kind of just like, even if your hand isn't that great in the late game, you can
trigger,
play everything out, bash, bounce everything back, call even like a 5k, and it'll become huge. So I think out of the four divine skills, I think she is unfortunately the least impressive one, but she's not bad. The other ones are better.
I will say, in Vanguard's history, usually the most non-impressive simple abilities wind up being the best.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to be fancy, you just need to work.
That's right. Perfect Riser, CB2 to stand. Fans rearguards was the most dogshit skill ever and remained the most dogshit skill there was. But I think, I do have hopes. I think, like, limiting multi-attack to once per fight is fine. Especially because this works with any card that calls stuff mid-battle phase.
Well, you know, she's not just a big number, 28k, potentially 38k double critical. She does have some, you better do this or you're gonna suffer cards.
Yep. So this is Raum. So she's a great one that gets plus off K if you have a Chris Rain Vanguard. But most importantly, when she boosts Chris Rain herself, if you have four more units with different names, you energy blast three. And until end of battle, you and your opponent would call cards without Sentinel from hand to Guardian Circle. They must call three or more cards with different grades at the same time. So, much like how Battledore, and like the idea of Battledore and your opponent is named after a random rearguard that nobody ever uses. Or actually, he was a Vanguard. It's even worse. But Raum, I think, will be the next, like, Raum clone. Like, we're going to be calling this idea of, like, guard restrict non-sentinels with your opponent has to call three different grades. Will become round clones, and I definitely don't think this is the first time we're gonna, like, this is the only time we're gonna be seeing this, because
like, the closest thing we ever gotten to anything like this, outside of just, you know, the extra restriction of different grades, is Flagger, you have to guard with three. Sienna is technically a guard with three, or I have benefits card.
There's also, what is it, the Dark Irregulars one?
Yes!
I forgot the name, but there's a Dark Irregulars one.
Basphemody, or something like that. It's a grade three.
No. It's,
yeah, it's the Bastion, it's the Darkseid's Bastion, where you have to run a shit ton of grade 3s just to make him work.
No, that's not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about a Dark Irregulars card, not a Darkseid's
card. Oh, sorry, yeah, I'm thinking about a Darkseid's card that actually is a 3-guard card.
Hope on Dam?
There is a Murakumo card actually that is not quite this, but says that if you have guarded with a certain grade, you can't guard with that same grade for the rest
of the turn. Yeah, there is. That's the, what is it? It's the freaking Oni dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Hope on Nebus is kind of similar, where it's like they have to call a certain amount of original shield.
Yes. So, Hard leg.
Hard leg, that's right. Another card, yes. So it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. I think it's a cool card to look at. And I feel like we'll get more of these in the future, but this makes Chris Rain pretty interesting because Chris Rain herself gives energy 3.
Yep.
So you can kind of use this every turn and just kind of annoy your opponent because, like, you attack with 28, you're forcing them to drop 2 15s, but then it's like, haha, now you have to drop a 15.
Well, it's
and
not
then
a 28.
A 1 and a 2.
It's not 28, this is boosting. So it's 30, 36. Yeah.
And this gives 5k, so it's 41.
41, actually, yeah, 41.
Yeah, this is actually kind of annoying. So
it comes down to PG or GG again.
Yeah, basically. It actually is going to be PG or GG territory. So maybe, you know, the more we read these cards and actually talk about them openly, I'm starting to think that maybe Chris Rain is...
not that bad. Like,
might not be that bad.
There's so many Bermuda lyrical support cards that are actually decently good.
Yeah.
And then Chris Rain still has support cards that run around her. Like, it is an orange Ines.
Anies.
Okay, thank you, because I was going to go with a different word.
Yes, Anies. So it's Anies.
Orange got support. Hi, Masha. Yes. They should have called her Masha. They missed an opportunity. They should have called her Masha.
Or Masha just changes her name to Anies. That's...
that is correct. Otto.
It's one government paperwork away.
Otto, when the student is placed on rear guard, if you have a grade 3 grade of Vanguard with Chris Strain in his card name, Cannon Blast 1 and Energy Blast 3, look at the top 5 cards of your deck, choose up to one unit card from among them with a different card name from this unit. With a different card name from unit cards on your Vanguard and rear guard.
Basically, something you don't have on the board.
Exactly. Call it to rear guard and shuffle the deck. Auto rear guard when this unit attacks a grade 3 greater unit. If you have a 4 or more units with different card names, this unit gets power 10k until the end of battle. This is not restricted to your opponent being grade 3. You can have a 20k beat stick while they're grade 2.
Yeah, you do have to set up your board so there's still like a condition for it.
Oh no, lyrical. And that's super hard.
The bigger thing for me is like this card is good and it works in conjunction with a divine skill. The only problem is that this thing is a Highlander deck. And I think you still run this at 4 though. Like, this is by far her best card, and you're just like, I think there will be some cards like Yuika, Voucher Blood, and this that you just have to run in more copies. And we're gonna have to, like, you have to have basically 4 different rears. So for the full skill to fire, you just basically have to hope that you don't draw into your dupes. You do draw off of the grade 3 too, and your ride line also reveals and adds stuff to hand, / call stuff. So aligning 4 different rear guards is not that hard.
Not to mention this immediately with conjunction with the divine skill gives you access to 5 attacks. But the biggest problem is exactly what you said is, unless you Persona Road, you gotta hope that your top 5 not only does not have your Vanguard and this card after you've used the divine skill, but it also has a unit that can punch.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, because you were gonna make this the same power as your Vanguard.
Exactly.
But the other one is gonna be like a little noodle, so...
so there is play potential here. It just needs to... okay, worst case scenario, if you don't see another rear guard to punch with, you call a booster.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I guess we'll see where this deck goes. I think I'll let people cook because it seems like the most difficult one to build.
Well, now we got to move on to the Thursday stream.
Yeah, which just happened.
Exactly. So these are fresh in your mind.
Yep. Eugene support alert. Eugene support alert.
Oh, sorry. I saw getting Neva first before Eugene. I saw what was supposed to be Eugene 2.0 before Eugene.
Yep.
Stormband Dragon. It's a grade 1. Auto when this unit is placed on rear guard. If you have a grade 3 or greater Vanguard with Eugene or Gandiva in this card name, Energy Blast 3, choose one of your opponent's rear guards and retire. If you did not retire, draw a card and this unit gets power 5 kin until the end of turn. At the start of your battle phase, your opponent's rear guard was retired. This turn stand this unit. So this unit's effect are 2 Eugene effects and 1 Gandiva effect.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to rest it in Gandiva. So the second ability literally only applies to Eugene.
Yeah, as it should, I guess. Like, having... like, I think... will you use this in Gandiva? I think yes, because it's basically just, you know,
it's a free retire
/ draw. And it's also 13k body.
And it's honestly, like, because it's the same thing Gandiva keep doing. Oh, you have more units. This is not going to draw. Haha, I activated Best Harvest. It's still going to draw.
Exactly. So I think this kind of helps to slot in the spots that Sturgeon kind of took up and now doesn't anymore. So I think it's a good card. And for Eugene, I mean, it's, you know, you get to retire two cards. It still doesn't make... I don't know, how many more random cards does Eugene need to get to finally become good? I feel like people don't even test the cards anymore. It's like,
I tested a Eugene recently. It was really hard to build because I was trying to go, I don't know. Eugene is just struggling. And I'm going to reiterate.
We just need a new grade 3.
That's we need a new Eugene. Eugene needs a new Eugene. Every card is supporting him.
XOR got fixed by having a new grade 3.
Exactly.
That's all we need.
So many people
are like, so did Zorga.
Exactly. Yep. And Zorga's going to get another form.
Yep.
All right, before I lose my mind with Eugene, holy shit, here, talk about my boy Silhouette.
Winston from Overwatch is a great one. So he says, behind the Vanguard, if your opponent's Vanguard is grade 3 or greater, all your front row units with armed arms get plus 5k, also active during your opponent's turn. It's pretty huge because this applies to both their rearguard swings individually, but also when they dock into the Vanguard too. So that's pretty huge. Like, your Vanguard gets another plus 10k, so I think your first Vanguard swing is like 51, like... pretty ridiculous, but the second effect, and a valid boosted Vanguard, if your opponent's Vanguard is grade 3 or greater, so it's beneficial to go second with this. And you can choose to go second now. You get Energy Blast 3, aka it's free. You choose one of your units, attach to your Vanguard, and move it to an open rear circle S stand, which means that you have 5 attacks in armed arms, which is huge. Silhouette feels like it's going to be a real deck now. At long last.
I can see the decklist already in front of me. I can see the columns. You still run the gray one that can restand and become an 18k booster, so you have good columns, good columns. Like, this deck is finally shaping up to be something good, and front triggers galore.
Yeah, true. Fronts feel pretty good again. I'm still not sure about, like, I never actually ended up building and playing the deck, but now I guess with this being... It's nice that this is the promo pack that starts in March in Japan, yes. And, like, March is going to be my freest month, so I can actually have time to grind. And there's definitely more than just one promo for me to grind in this one. So,
I will say, as someone who's played Silhouette so many times, it actually feels like a super fun deck to play.
Mm.
It was literally just, we could not find... I tried two decks. I tried the OG version that just ran the grade ones in this. I tried a version where it ran nothing but grade twos and used the order to allow grade twos to boost. That was worse. That did not work. So having stuff like this where you go, okay, you don't need boosters. They do enough themselves. Thank God.
Yeah. It's very nice. I like the deck thematically just from the manga, so...
Exactly.
Pretty exciting.
Sequence this correctly, because the next card we got is a lyrical card, yes. Which I honestly did not see coming with...
Sienna!
Yep, Ruvrum. Oh boy. Auto understand this placement rigor. If you have a Vanguard or a Sienna discarding, Cannabis 1, Soul Charge 1, then choose a card from your soul and put it into your hand. So you can basically add the card. You just soul charge if I had a PG, get accidentally soul charge or something.
It's also like you get to get your persona rides back.
Your triggers.
And because you're putting your triggers into soul all the damn time, you can get your triggers back.
Exactly.
So that's actually arguably the biggest part, I think, is like that accessibility to your soul, which is a big resource in this deck.
But it doesn't end there, because it goes auto regard when your Vanguard with Sienna, its card name is attacked. Cost Energy Blast 3 and put this into your soul. Choose one of your Vanguards and it gets 15! Until the end of battle. There already exists a card in Sienna that Ghost of Soul gives 10k.
Yep.
So they got two rearguards that just get power on top of triggers giving you 15, on top of Blitz Orders not going to Guardian Circle.
Yeah, so this is really big because you can actually use this in conjunction with a Blitz Order for like 30k, and then you still have Sienna's effect live.
Exactly.
So this is really good. I think Sienna was just missing more defensive tools that help also with the utility. And she basically got exactly that. So Sienna's like one of the lyrical decks I still have. I'm always in this eternal limbo of like, do I sell all of my lyrical decks already? Or do I keep trying to experiment with something? And I'm still not sure. It's like looking at card shops paying 5,000 yen per Dajibla, and I'm like, I could just get 20k yen out of that. But I'm also like,
So, brain, stop there for a second. I am back.
Reconnected.
I know, right? Sometimes it's like, oh, there's a thought, and it went. And there's a thought, and it went. But this card for... Oh, yeah. The biggest thing for Sienna and the biggest weakness, especially with this card and the original card that went to Soul and gave 10k, is the fact that against retired decks, you really feel bad of calling this, so you're losing all this shield. And I think Sienna is one of those rare decks where you do not run any other regular piece than the blanket.
I think you really do have to just ladder and just like, just be like, nope,
you can't touch.
And I mean, most decks sadly have to default to ladder, and it being a very expensive card in Japan doesn't help. It kind of needs a reprint ASAP because it's the regular piece that, like, I have two of them and I kind of like, the release price was really huge. And then at one point when the Vanguard hype was kind of like low because we're ready for the Divines announcement, it dropped to like 3,200 and I was like, should I buy some? And I was like, nah, it's okay. I'll live with my two copies. Now I'm like, maybe I should have because it's back at like 5K now.
True. So,
warning to the English guys, when Triple Drive Booster comes out, you want your ladders.
Yeah, but we got to move on. The first three were just random support for random decks. Now we're getting the same thing we got last promo pack, where the glitter decks get their jump riders.
Yes.
The first one up is Tamayura.
Yes. So this is Kawasohime. It's a, I don't know why the feet department of Wish Road is so active lately. We keep getting these girls with their dogs out, I swear to God. But other than that, this card is pretty good. When placed, Energy Blast 3, look at top 7 for Grade 2 or less glitter, call it to rear. So this searches all of your dolls, basically, Grade 2s and Grade 1s. So in procs, there are on-call effects for the Grade 2s, which is also excellent. So it's already a card with an inherent plus when it's placed. And this is, you know, it's not going to be doing too much on the rear guard circle herself. But luckily, she doesn't need to be in the rear guard circle because as long as you have a Grade 3 Vanguard with Tamayura in its name, she goes to Seoul, searches out the Daybreak Tamayura, and rides at a stand and shuffles your deck. And then if you either place the Vanguard during the ride phase or you Persona Ride this turn, you cannot Persona Ride. So essentially, when you ride the Daybreak Tamayura, she activates Persona Ride. So this is like in turn 3, you use this, you get the Persona Ride active on turn 3 already. But if you did not, or if you rode normally and then you still are trying to activate something off of this, then it will not happen. But you can even like ride into Daybreak Tamayura from hand and then still dex in one out with this. Mm-hmm. It just won't activate double Persona Ride. So it's the same, all of them have the same skill.
Yeah, they're You'll stopping their Stegria. Because Stegria is the only one that can legally double Persona Ride.
Exactly, yeah.
On top of they're also stopping you Persona Riding while your opponent's a Grade 2, which will be busted.
Yeah, exactly. So it is pretty nice, just because, you know, if you rode on the Grade 3 turn, you don't get to it. You know, it says if you place the Vanguard
exactly.
The phase. So it's really nice, just more copies of the Grade 3s that have good utility effects. And this one is a good utility effect as well. And it's just more consistency to these decks because, like, adding more Grade 3s that are not part of your ride deck that are not searchable, you're going to need to find searches for them eventually.
Like, we got two more to cover, but honestly, all of these that we're getting for the glitter decks is really needed because the new glitter cards, the new boss units of the versions of the original lore cards are really good. The only problem was when finding them sometimes, because you need to draw into them, and then waiting until turn 4, and a lot of decks can't really survive till turn 4, and if they could, Bruce would be a thing still.
Especially for Chaos.
Exactly. So now being able to jump ride all the way up to these and activate them early is just so good. And Chaos is one of them, because we got Miss D's Dragon.
It's actually Miss D's. It's actually a Z in the Japanese spelling. So it's actually a D's Nuts joke inside the card name. But yeah.
I'm going to hear this from Echo nonstop. Great. Yep. Anyway, amazing effect in my opinion. I'm really liking the direction because it says act rearguard. If you have a Grade 3 or Grade of Anger with Chaos Sense card name, bind this unit.
There's no binds instead of going to Seoul. So it's nice because it like, It looks at the...
It goes away from what Chaos wants to do. It doesn't want to directly help them.
Yeah.
Which I like. Search the deck for Seoul or Ontario Chaos. Ride a stand and shuffle the deck if you either placed or if you Persona or do not activate the thing.
Same thing, basically.
Exactly. This is a fun one. Act Bind Zone if you have a Grade 3 Vanguard with Chaos in its card name. Cost put this unit into your drop and Seoul charge one.
So it's a bit of a, like an extra step of like instead of, you know... They could have just put this into the soul, but they want you to have a random soul charge instead of a confirmed soul charge. So you like, it also doesn't clutter with like, you know, the same card going to your soul all the time.
Exactly.
So it helps you hit your random souls and you can still run this as a 4-of without it like disturbing what Chaos wants to do. So.
The biggest issue I actually do see, not with this card, but with Chaos himself, is you use that first Chaos turn to set up.
Yeah.
Now you are going to try to turbo to 13 by turn 3.
Yeah.
To even do the full effect.
So I wonder how that's going to work out.
I got a lot of testing to do.
Yep.
I got a lot of things. Yours is a lot simpler. Yours is just, let's go.
Oh, my baby, Eva, finally got support. She's finally a real deck again after almost, we're getting close to a year of dormancy. So it's like, Eva, I think, started falling off. In Japan, she started falling off, I would say, like with set 10 / festival booster, which was May, and this is coming out in March, so like 10 months of dormancy, which is you know, the deck wasn't even alive for that long, I think it was.
I mean, you even got a restriction, you didn't even need it.
Yeah, right, so it's been a bit tough for us Eva players, but finally, a good card. So her first skill is of this Immigra. Damn, he's like immigration. This you're gonna meet this guy tomorrow at the airport.
I know, right? Don't scare me.
Damn, actual vetting monster. Dude, he's actually an immigration worker, that's insane. But this dude essentially has the same effect as the Tamayora one. So this one goes into the soul to search for the Pip Eva and ride it. And then, of course, same clause, like you if you rode or persona rode, doesn't activate persona ride. But what's really important is that in the drop, whenever you play the research order from hand, you energy blast 3 to call this to rear and it gets +2k. And that is so huge. I cannot stress it enough.
So
you have early game finally. Oh my god, it doesn't cost a CB. Like, this is like combined rusher, but it's a grade 1. The best part is you revive it. In early game, you can bash with it. They take it out, revive it again. And like, you don't really necessarily play any other energy blast cards in this deck. So you're gonna just keep reusing him. And it's like, okay, I revive him on turn 3. Just chuck him into the soul and ride up.
Exactly.
And then soul blast 1 for the grade 3 research order, and I can reuse him again next turn. As long as you have research orders, which you will in this deck because you have 8, you're going to be having this on board all the time. And it's just like such a simple effect, but it's all the deck needed. Like a faster way to activate Poison in Paradise, and also a way to have early game. Like early game especially was so vital in this deck. I cannot stress it enough.
On top of that, it kind of prevents your opponent from trying to damage them because before you're first Eva, you need a 2 CB to be fully active. The first CB to look at top, and then the second CB to
actually... And now you can use the first CB to look at top, and then use the skill to go into Poison
Paradise. Exactly.
So you still get to do the tutoring, and then you still get the better battle phase skills.
Exactly.
Too. So it's like, it's everything I wanted. I think, honestly, I couldn't have asked for any better of these, like the second skill. If you asked me what I would have wanted before the third reveal, I wouldn't even be able to tell you because I would have just said better early game, but I wouldn't be able to tell you how I would have wanted that to be paired with this kind of skill. But they managed to actually make it happen and also add an energy blast costume, which like it just doesn't have any other ways to use. Like maybe use the cycler from this set to like...
Yeah, you could.
Initially, I was like, oh, you could run both Evas, but now I'm like, you don't even need to. Just play this guy. So I'm very happy. Eva main is very happy, and I will continue to play Eva for another year.
I love this card in Eva, especially because let's assume you miss it, right? All the mulligan, all the draws, deck fitting, and getting the grade 3, you somehow miss it, right?
It will happen.
Okay, let me use the grade 3 research. Look at top 5. Is it there? Yeah. No. Yes or no? Exactly. Yeah. You might find it, you might not. Oh, let me use Ava's. Look at top 3. You have so many chances to
dig
find
for it. Yeah.
That you really have to break hard if you miss it.
Yeah, it's like, obviously it's best to see in the mulligan because you want to ditch it for red cost, but it's like, even if you don't, there's so many ways to like, because you deck thin so much too, it's like, oh,
the
actual dream come true. Like this card the more I talk about it, the better it gets.
I think you're going to like an idea that I just came up with, or a realization. One problem that I want to mention with all of these cards, all these jump rides, especially for the glitter decks, is the fact that they are dead cards once your deck runs out of a specific card.
Yes.
Because it only searches deck. It's not like the grade 4 ones where they might ride from drop, from soul, whatever. But this only works, put the soul, search your deck, for it, ride it. So if it's not in your deck, these only become good for their second abilities.
Mm.
But that just reminded me. Do you remember originally, Eva,
when you only had the thing that puts back your normally
grade 3s.
Yeah. I mean, you can put anything back, but if you put a grade 3, you can draw a card.
Exactly. So you might be able to combo that monster with this.
Mm.
You basically put that on drop, counterblast, look, play order, put this on rear guard, put it, and you just grab it from drop and go again.
But usually if you've gone through 4 paradises, I think your deck is so low that you're just fine to just go main phase, Eva skill, rearrange the deck, attack, swing, win.
But you're in the paradise where you used 4. I'm in the paradise where
damage 3 is.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean...
All right. With that being said, though, that has been it for the leaks. So the only thing left to talk about is some upcoming news. One of which is the festival collection that got announced for 2020.
Booster.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's not a collection. It's a booster.
Yes.
This booster has a very cool looking dragon on the art. We do not know what it's going to do. I'm just hoping that all nations get one.
And more Regulus pieces.
Exactly. That's gonna be interesting. That is exactly. Not only getting reprint promos, some of which are just goof. Promos.
Super expensive, like especially Sapien Owl was like 5k yen a piece for a while.
Exactly.
And I'm
super hyped for the main because she in my opinion, she gets played almost every single dark side deck if able.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's pretty good. I think also for Leonorn, having a lesser impact is also very, very nice.
But as you mentioned, we're getting not only two new orders, a Blitz and a Normal Order, that are nationless and have very similar arts to Sanctitude.
A lot of text on the second one too. You can see it's going to be a big text box.
But we're also getting two new Overtriggers.
Yes, two nationless OTs. It's going to be quite interesting just because, you know, the two they gave us already were pretty insane. And
how far are days going
to
go?
Yeah, I'm wondering what they're going to try to do because we've had, you know, multi-tax, we've had utility. So, like, will they do another one with, like, one aggressive, one utility? Or will they try to go in a different angle as well? So
give us a defensive Overtrigger, get it still on the die. They don't even imagine.
I don't know if they want to do that.
But not only that, we also got some information on the English side.
Yes.
We got set two release date for June 28th. That is so far.
Yeah, I mean, we're, what, mid-February right now?
Yeah.
So it's pretty far. I mean, it's also pretty far for us in Japan. It doesn't release until, like, late April, I think. So 2 week, I mean, 2 month gap is kind of being upheld as usual.
I'm a Dark States mate, man. I want my faded one already.
Yeah. Can only hope that it's going to be good.
Exactly. But on top of being good, well, next Tuesday, we're finally starting to see some of the reveals for the new premium deck sets.
Yep.
We're going to see Musketeer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday, we're going to see Jewel Knights.
Yeah.
And apparently, there's a Jewel Knight crest.
Yeah, so I'm assuming all of them will have crests. So it'll be interesting. Apparently, a Salome crest. And because these arts are the original grade threes from the Break Red era, I'm guessing they will, their crests will turn them into 13Ks and stuff.
That would be cool.
I guess Raging Form will get the same thing one Tuesday later.
So. Exactly. And we also got an English date for all these, which is July 12th. So huzzah, in time it's for BCS.
Same. Yeah, it's like just, it's basically the same schedule as JP where we get this just before set two. And then all the D4 DJ news. Oh, I've become such a big Gnaw fan overnight. This, I saw this picture and I was like, oof, heart skipped a beat.
So I did a D4 DJ collab with Bushiro a long time ago whenever they did a collab of Vanguard and D4 DJ. I honestly did enjoy the game a little bit. So I might re-download it for this collab.
Same.
As well as just to have something to, you know, tinker with in my free time.
Yes.
So overall, this just looks exciting. And I, like you said, the arts for these are actually legit.
My heart. This angle is not good for my heart.
And we're going to finish this V-time off with not only recap from Worlds, but your Invitational.
Yes.
So real quick recap of Worlds. I was there as a vlogger, was a guest and all that, managed to get a lot of interviews. That vlog video will be coming out very soon.
Looking forward to that.
But as someone who commentated and saw a little bit behind the scenes, I got to experience Worlds from a different perspective. How was it for you?
I think for the casting side, I mean, I've been casting Worlds for 7 years now.
Awesome.
But it's always a very refreshing experience. I guess no, 6 years technically. But it's always a very nice experience, specifically in Japan. I think last year we were in LA and it was unique in its own sense, but also very dangerous because of it being in LA. So I was really happy that, like, with it being in Japan, I kind of knew that it was my duty to not only, you know, put on a show for casting, but also it's like I'm the person that lives here and knows everything and, like, has the ability to put things on for people. So I kind of put myself in the position where I have to do as much as possible during this specific mm-hmm. 1 week and around that weekend. So as you mentioned, I hosted the Invitational because I was like, there's people going back the day after. And there was even people going back the Sunday that I couldn't invite to the Invitational, but I made sure to call people that are there at least until the Monday. You know, we put on a show. It was still, you know, there's a lot of rough parts. There were still a lot of things that I wish we could have done better, but I'm overall pretty happy with how it turned out. And I'll be doing more things like this in the future, both within Japan and also again internationally for Next Worlds too. So you can look forward to that and then watch the VODs if you haven't seen them already.
Yes.
I have the both Japanese commentary by Knack and others on my YouTube live section. And then on my actual just uploads, I uploaded the English VOD too, commentated by Jay and Fuzzy and as well as Kai and Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really nice. It was a great pleasure to put this event together and, like, see the communities kind of get together too at long last, especially the JP side and the English side. So I think overall the event was overall mostly a success. From my very perfectionist organizer standpoint, I think so much that could have been done better.
Hey,
a lot of things.
That's for next year, right?
Yeah, it is for next year. And it's, like, you know, for upcoming events too. But do wish I could have done a bit of a better job, but I think overall we did okay. And then I also, you know, I posted a little offline event for my own channel members and Twitch subs. That also was like a much more chill and relaxed one. That thanks to Shaka Shaka for letting me use their space, went without a hitch. So that was also very fun. The world itself was great. I think the stream was pretty entertaining. We had a lot of really fun games. Top 8 was like the last thing you'd expect for standard. So especially once the VOD for that goes up, you definitely should check that out. We had a lot of, like, I think Swiss Rounds had some really cool games. And then it was really cool to see some of the people from those games come back in the top 8 and like show us some really crazy games. Like I was losing my voice in the finals. We had some hiccups. We had a delay in the middle as well of Swiss.
Those are normal.
They're not. They really should not.
They shouldn't be, but
they shouldn't be there. We will work hard to make sure they're not there next time.
Your event especially, you know, something's going to go wrong. You just got to be prepared to deal with it. And I got to give Bushra and Seth props. Whenever the problem happened, they dealt with it really fast and really well, considering what the problem was.
Yeah. So I think overall, Worlds was also a great success, especially the Evolve side. I think of all the Worlds, Evolve was by far... I didn't cast Evolve, I chose to cast Standard, but Evolve was by far the best of the streams. If you watch the VOD, you'll see it was basically like watching a Pokemon stream, where it's like they had like deck statistics, representation stats. They were showing deck lists here and there as well. Like they were showing these breakdowns, they did trivia, giveaways, like all this stuff that you would expect from one of these streams, but it's only the Evolve team that really went so much further beyond to put in the work and like effort into the stream. So huge props to the Evolve side of Bushiroad. I mean, huge props to everyone at Bushiroad, but yeah, specifically the Evolve side, because like I know the person that went through all that effort. And like the sleepless nights need to be appreciated, and it's like there is someone that is really putting in the effort to make that stream look so good. And I hope that the Vanguard side can catch up eventually, but you need someone that motivated and with that much time to
do. This will sound bad the way I say it, but I mean it from good heart. It's like there also probably was a lot of pressure because this was the first English Worlds Evolve stream event, whatever.
Yes.
So you needed to kind of up the
make sure it's the best looking one too.
Exactly.
So. Like, not in the sense that, like, it has to put down the other games, but more so that they really went above and beyond to make sure it stands out. And, like, I think it's really, really
good. They succeeded.
Because I didn't get to watch the stream, obviously, because I was casting Stan at the same time, so I'll do a little VOD analysis for that as a thing coming
up. You're going to just pull up a screen and just multitask?
Yeah, I mean, just, once the VOD is up, that's all I'm waiting for, so hopefully it goes up soon. But, yeah, I think overall, from my side, like, Worlds was a good success, and I'm really glad it's back in Japan. Hope it keeps being in Japan, because... I mean, I live here, and it's nice to do these events without jet lag, especially.
I will say one thing. Bigger venues so people can come and watch.
Yeah, I think for next year, I hope that that's the message that Bushiroad has gotten to, because UDX is small.
Especially whenever you try to host 8 events. If it was something like 3 years ago where you just had like 3 to 4 events, this could have potentially worked. Yeah, but now that we have so many games in one time, in one location, a bigger venue is definitely needed.
Yeah. 100%. So I think there's a lot of good improvements for next year. Like, I don't work for Bushi, so I don't know what they're exactly planning for next year's world, but I am involved in the planning process for Evolve side of things, and I can give direct feedback. So if you have any direct feedback you want to give for these streams, I know the right people to pass them on to. So let me know in the comments or directly.
Should hire certain casters that have long hair and, you know, or 2 meters tall and, you know, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
We all know why that could happen, buddy.
Look, it's a guy can dream, right?
A guy can dream. A guy can dream.
With all that being said, we're going to slowly end this episode here so we don't go too long. Thank you for...
What did you think of Worlds? You didn't get to really talk too much about it because this was your first time in Japan too.
This was actually my first time in Japan. I really like... I have always been born and lived in big cities. So I got used to... You know, walking everywhere.
Yeah, I picked up this guy from the station on this first day of arrival, and he was like, "Wow, this reminds me of like Slovenia."
Exactly, like a lot of stuff just reminded me of home because it was just, you know, big city. You get used to this stuff, crowds and all that, and it was so familiar in that aspect. So I got to figure out myself really quick. Okay, I need to go here. I need to do this way. This is the road. This is the train. Stuff like that. Well, it's so calming because I'm very much a person that. You respect me, I respect you, we're going to have a fine time. Like, we know boundaries and all that. And Japan is really that. Like, everybody is, for lack of a better word, selfish in a good way. Like, they're super into themselves, but they also respect you back in the same way. And that is just so refreshing. Because nobody wants to get in anybody's way. So everybody's polite, but at the same time, it's in an organized manner. Nothing's, like, disorganized. Everything's just... runs smoothly. Yeah. Like, I love that.
Late.
Yeah, I love that atmosphere because it's one of the few things, like, you don't want to get yourself involved with people you know. You want to use your energy and your emotions for people that you know. So the rest of the people that don't technically don't exist are NPCs in a way. Mm. Are just going to pass you by. So if they don't bother you that as much, it's like, perfect. Let me do my thing.
Yeah.
And we can all be happy.
Yes. Insert funny pictures of Philip not fitting into things. Such as trains and doors and tunnels and other funny locations and standing over walls and
it's fine.
The funniest part, the best part of Philip in Japan is Philip in Japan.
Exactly. So yeah, I'll probably have elaborated more on my trip in the vlog because it's half a vlog, half a trip. I don't know. I still haven't edited it, so I have no idea how it's going to look. Hoping it's because I'm good. Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
But with all that really being said, now we're going to end this episode here. Thank you so much for watching episode 208 of V-Time. If you liked the episode, please like, share with your friends. Comment down below what you thought of Worlds, what you thought of the Divine, what you are thinking that the other two Divine skills, because we're still missing two. Jesus Christ, you're like one. The other two go are missing. But other than that, if you like the channel, subscribe, ring that bell to get notified. Maybe become a member for some awesome perks. With all that being said, I've been Philip.
And I have been Chris.
And well, I'll see you, maybe this is the guy next year, in the next one.
Bye-bye.
How loud do I hear me? Can I?
I'll close the door.
Not too loud. I realized the second I was going to do the intro, like, because my intro is just like,
yeah, that's fine.